It doesn't make any difference whether you're in Galatians, Ephesians, you know, Colossians, wherever you are. Paul very clearly tells us that today we as Christians are not under the law. Now, a lot of people don't understand that when they say we're not under the law, but we're under grace. Well, when you tell them grace, then they want to take it too far and want to say, well, then if I'm under grace, the law has no hold on me, so I can just do anything I want to do and I'm under grace and God will forgive me. But that's not really true. If you go to sinning, if you're a Christian and you're living under the freedom in Christ and you get into sin, that when you sin, the minute you sin, you fall from grace. You fall from grace and you fall back under the law. So therefore, the judgment of the law, which is still there, it will condemn you and it will make you sick and afflict you. It will torment you. It will even kill you. But that's the part it's like people don't understand. What do you do with the scripture when it says, we are not under the law? What do you believe? I'm not under the law? That means I'm not under the law. So if it says I'm not under the law, then I think the ideal thing to do, you may have heard this in your life, if you read a scripture and you don't understand what it says, the best thing to do is read at least 10 verses before it and 10 verses after it, to get some kind of an idea of what he meant when he said, I'm not under law. Well, if you just read one line before it, you'll find out that he says, those that are led by the Spirit are not under law. Now then, the only way to be led by the Spirit of God is to be in the Word of God. If I say, okay, today, right now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to start down the aisle here and I'm going to ask, I want every one of y'all to close your Bible and I'm going to ask, starting right here on the front row, I want you to quote me your favorite verse. Now, you're not going to be able to look up nothing, but you must quote me your favorite verse. I'm going to go all the way around the room and everybody can't quote me at least one or two favorite verses. I can guarantee you, you're not led by the Spirit. And some people would just be in sheer terror because I'm only asking for one. If you don't know at least 25 verses, you're not in the Word, so that means you're not led by the Spirit. Do you know that the average Christian would have a heart attack if they thought they had to produce 25 verses? Because the average person can't do that. They can't produce 25 verses. And a lot of people will say, well, I know what the Word says, I just don't know where the address is. You know, I don't know if it's Galatians 3:10 or whatever that is. I just know it's somewhere in the Bible. Well, that's better than not knowing anything. But the one thing I've learned in my life of walking in faith, and everybody wants to walk in faith, and I will use Sharon as an example. Whenever I met Sharon, she was sick. She had so many things wrong with her. You know, that she had brain tumors, she had allergies, she had asthma, she had back troubles. I mean, you name it. In fact, Sharon was in such bad shape, she could not even drive her own car to church. Now, in her 40s, is she a Christian? Absolutely. Does she go to church? Absolutely. Well, somebody told her about the Living Savior Ministries. So she came over here to a little tiny church where she went to a church that was able to seat about several thousand, like 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000, big, giant church where she went. But she came to me, and when it came time for the healing school, I taught her what God's Word said for about 4 or 4.5 hours. And then after the church was over, she came up and she said, I need to be prayed for. I've never heard the Word of God spoken of like you teach it. But she said, I want you to know before you pray for me, I have been prayed for over 100 times in my church with no results. I said, well, Sharon, did anybody ever tell you that, first of all, you have to repent of your sin before you can be prayed for? No. I said, but see, God tells us to repent of sin. I said, so you got to repent of sin. I said, do you have any idea? I said, how long ago did this happen? And I think she said 27 years ago or something like this. I said, can you think of something you did 27 years ago that was sin? And she immediately thought of something and she said, oh yeah, I know what I did. I said, you've never repented of that? She said, I've never repented of that. I said, okay, tell the Lord you're sorry for that sin. He will forgive you. There's not an issue here. God will forgive you. That's a beautiful part about living under faith. If we ask God to forgive us, he will right then. And so she did, and he did. I said, now then, Sharon, what scripture did you use to base your faith on? She said, scripture? I have never used a scripture. And I said, and you see what you got. I said, God watches over his word to perform his word. He doesn't watch over mine and your words to perform our words. He watches over his word. So I said, we have to find one of God's promises to stand on. I said, which one do you want to stand on? And she had just been through 4 hours of promises. And so she said, well, how about that Matthew 18:19 or something like that? She said, that was an awesome scripture. You know, isn't this amazing that God said in his word, Matthew 18:19, again, I tell you that if two of you, and Sharon and I were two, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father, which is in heaven. I said, that's a good one. So we can stand on that. We call God in remembrance of his promise. Why does God want to know his promises? Why does he want you to tell him what his promises are? Does he forget them? No, he doesn't forget them at all, does he? Then why does he want you to say that? Because he wants to know, do you know them? You know, do you know them? And so we used a promise. I said, then Sharon, you have never been prayed for in faith. I said, a lot of people pray for you, but they don't pray for you in faith. They always say, oh God, if it be your will, something like that. And I said, there's not any faith in that. I said, now I'm going to pray for you in faith. You've repented of your sin. We found a scripture, and I'm going to pray for you in faith, and I'm going to guarantee you when I pray that God's going to heal you. And I prayed for her, and she was instantly healed of all those things that day after 27 or 30 years. And today, several years later, she's still walking in divine health. And she works with this ministry every day. She's on the prayer lines, and some of you may have talked to her as she has shared the truth of God's word with you and prayed the prayer of faith for you, because she knows how to do it. But see, she didn't know how to do it all those years. And there's a lot of people today that's Christians that don't know who we are and what we are. Last week, I emphasized heavily sonship. You know, and some people don't know that, you know, we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. They've read that or heard it, but it never has become a revelation, a rhema word from God that you're a son. Let's just say that I have a son, and my son had never come to the realization that he's really my son. He knew he lived in my house, but it had never become a revelation that he's really a son and an heir, a joint heir with me, and everything that I have belongs to him. And say that had never become a revelation to him. Would he ever come ask me for anything? No, because he doesn't know that what I have belongs to him also. But I still have control over it. So when he comes and asks me for something, when he realizes he is a son, that's just like the time that he was coming back. He was just getting ready to finish up with his college. And I'd told him many times about how God spoke to me. I hear an audible voice. Yeah, Dad, sure you do. You know, if you've never heard that voice, you think, well, I ain't never heard it. Of course, you know, he wasn't near as old as I was. And by the time I was 22 or 3, 4 years old, I had not heard it either. So he got to hear it earlier than I did. He was coming home from college one morning, and God spoke to him and told him, said, Tim, I have trained your dad to be a spiritual leader and a spiritual teacher of my people. He said, now I'm going to train you, and I have been training you how to be a physical teacher of people. So he said, you're going to have a facility where you can teach people how to take care of their physical bodies, and your dad is going to train people how to take care of their spiritual bodies. Well, when Tim walked in that morning, he was white as a sheet. I mean, Dad, God came in the car with me this morning. Well, let me tell you, he'd never realized as a son of God, where is God all the time? He's in us, is he not? But when he speaks from within you and you hear that, it really shakes your world that God is really there and he's that close. Well, of course, we started looking for a piece of land and a building, and we finally wound up with that piece of land we have over there where the field house is. We built that building for him brand new, and he's been there now for 10 years. I think about how we as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, don't realize a sonship. So when something miraculous happens, I mean, there is people in church like I was raised up in a Baptist church. And if you had come in and told me, you know, I was in a church last week and there was a man that knelt down in front of a man, had two broken legs and had steel cast on his legs and all that stuff. And this man knelt down in front of him and laid his hand on him and asked the Lord to give him two new legs. And he did. And the man jumped up, took the steel off, run around the building. I would have said, I don't believe that story. I don't believe that story. That's not true. But now then that it has happened to me, it's a little bit easier for me to understand that, because I have seen God do those kind of things and many things. And so the more things you see God do, the greater your faith. And all of a sudden one day you realize, why is he doing this? He's doing it because I'm his son. I have sonship with God. So when I ask my Heavenly Father for something, he has no problem answering me if we've done everything he says, right? When Tim came to me and told me what the Lord had told him, I had absolutely no qualms at all taking all the money. I had invested all of my life in good investments, and when his mother and sister got killed in a car wreck, I had almost $500,000 in investments. I was a very fortunate man. You know, to just be a working man and have that kind of money, I know that only God could have done that. I had prayed and asked him, and before I learned the principles of tithing and giving, I was always broke. I could never make it from payday to payday. You know, that was just a way of life. And then I went to a church service one day, and I was in the military, and we went to church on Sunday when the offering plate was passed, and I put a dollar bill in the offering plate. And then there was a preacher up there. When he started preaching, he was going to preach on tithing a little bit that morning. And he says, you know, there are some people that will come to church here, and whenever the offering plates pass, even though they don't realize the grace of God and the greatness of God, what he's done for them, they put a dollar bill in the offering plate. Well, just as I looked up, guess where his finger was pointing? You think that didn't bring me under condemnation? Oh, I had just done that. I went home that day and I told my wife, I said, you know, there is no way we can tithe and make it. I said, we are living from payday to payday and there's never enough money at the end of the week or the month. I said, so if I were to give 10% of what we're making, what that preacher said we're supposed to give, there's no way we can make it. But I said, he did say, God says, put me to the test and see if I won't pour out the windows of heaven and bless you. So I said, so the next Sunday, I put 10% of all my pay in that offering plate, and I'm going to tell you, from that day to this, I have never been broke again. Never. And I was blessed and blessed and blessed, and I had money to put in my investments, and by the time I was 60 years old, I had $500,000.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Faith is the Key, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.